www.allcreations.com.
Welcome to all listeners from across the planet. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Henrik, and we are coming to you from Scandinavia, the west coast of Sweden, to be more specific. If you're new to the program, don't forget to check out our previous programs, a massive archive of interviews on the mysterious, esoteric, occult, conspiratorial, and spiritual. We cover a vast area of different topics, and I'm sure you'll be able to find subject matters that you are interested in and want to find out more about if you check out our website, redicecreations.com. That's R-E-D-I-C-E, creations.com. You can stream or download, access our RSS feed or mobile app. There's a number of different ways you can listen to the show. Today we have Peter Lindberg with us from the Ocean X team in Sweden to discuss the mysterious Baltic Sea object that they found June 19th last year, 2011, between Sweden and Finland while looking for sunken treasures, an anomaly that has been making headlines worldwide ever since. Stay with us to find out more. All right, welcome, Peter, and thank you for coming on the program. First of all, I know how busy you guys are and how much various media outlets out there around the world at this point, I think, are chasing after you guys. So I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today, Peter. So welcome.
Thank you.
Now, obviously, I want to talk about some of the latest news regarding this mysterious object found at the bottom of the Baltic Sea. And I know you've told the story many times, but just in case, Peter, we don't want to leave anyone behind here, any of our new listeners and so forth. Maybe you can just summarize for us the chain of events, when and where and how you find this thing that we're going to talk about here today.
Yeah, it was on a wreck search expedition last year, and actually it was the last day, and we were on our way home with a leaking boat, and we had had lots of problems. And we decided to search for a wreck on our way home, which I knew should be somewhere in that area. And we put our search equipment in the water, and we started. And just an hour later, this circular object turned up on the monitor. And of course, we were quite surprised about how it looked like. But we continued to search for the wreck, and later that day we heading for home. So we ended the expedition. So we never took a look at that time what it was.
And when did you? And then basically a whole year went by before you actually kind of jumped on this. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was 1st of June. We had the possibility to go out again and have a look at it.
Is that primarily because of the weather and the conditions in the Baltic Ocean, Peter? Or why did you wait so long there?
Well, we couldn't, after September last year, we couldn't go out anymore because of the weather. And in May or June, it was a good time to continue. But mostly it was lack of money that which did that we couldn't go out last year again.
That's right, and of course the first time you released the radar sonar scans, I guess it is. You can clarify more exactly what that is, what we're looking at, but that caused a bit of a media storm around the world. Did you guys try to approach some of the papers with this, or how did it come out for the first time in the mainstream media?
It was my colleague Dennis that actually called the newspaper here in Sweden and ask them, may you be interested in this, because we don't know what it is, and if you print the image in the newspaper, maybe someone can tell us. It was like that. And they had a page with an image of the sonar image, and after that everything went just berserk, kind of.
Absolutely. Now, again, then maybe you can just describe a little bit for it what it was that you find. You obviously know more now at this stage than you did after the first expedition, but with everything you have, the data available today, describe it for us, Peter.
Yeah, last year we didn't really know. We could see it was a circular object or something that was nearly 60 meters across, and it had a tail which was like 1200 meters long, or in the vicinity of that, and but we didn't know really if it was standing up above the bottom or if it was down into the bottom, because we had far from optimal conditions when we found it. But now when we have had a real look at it, we know that it's raising about 50 meters above the bottom, so it's quite high. And well, we thought maybe that this will most probably be a natural thing. So after the first expedition, we just have to say that, okay, it's just a big rock. But we got quite more questions than answers after the first expedition.
And Peter, was it the second expedition when you went down with the divers for the first time and an ROV as well?
No, we had that on the first expedition. That when we went out on 1st of June, we had divers and the ROV with us. But the first expedition, for example, we found this round hole, which unfortunately the divers didn't find later on. And on the second expedition, we had planned to take a look at this hole, if it was a deep hole or just a pit or something, but we couldn't find it, and that was quite odd. Of course, we had missed it in some way, but, that was one question we didn't get the answer for.
There seems to be a very difficult waters to dive in, and maybe we can just talk a little bit about that. The water seems very muggy up in the Baltic, and so it's difficult to get a good overview unless you're very close to the object with lights and everything. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have a visibility of maybe half a meter and sometimes 1 meter, so it's very, very difficult to get an overview picture of it. We can't take a photograph and then see how it looks like. We have a kind of quite sophisticated sonars on the ROV, which is very helpful, but it still doesn't give us a real visual image. And the divers having problems, of course, it's because of the visibility, and last dives, they were quite strong current as well. The surface is quite smooth, so they have quite problems to hang on to it when the current starts.
Oh, wow. So they're actually drifting away a little bit, to put it in that way?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. They had to, if they wanted to go against the current, they had to swim quite hard. And as they relaxed a bit, they just followed the current in the other direction.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. So that's very interesting. Now, how can we describe it in shape-wise? As you said, Peter, obviously it's resting upon something, and that seems to be, we don't know at this point, the latest update that's on your website, oceanexplorer.se, you have a little bit of a drawing, I think, that you made as well of the ROV going down to try to find the little crevice, if you will, between the actual circular object and the bottom, which someone's called been almost like a mushroom shape. Maybe you can describe this to us and what you know right now at this moment.
Yeah, on this second expedition, we found out that it looks like these two things are separated, but we don't really know for sure, but it sure looks like it. And it's the lower part, the foundation or the pillar, as we call it, is about 7 meters high, and are about 60 meters across as well as the upper part. And the upper part is not exactly round, but very, very round shaped, and has this 60 meters across as well. But the surface on the upper part is different from the foundation. The foundation really looks like ordinary granite or gneiss, or what we call it, mm-hmm. ordinary rock for Scandinavia. While the upper part seems to be of another kind of material or mineral. It's much smoother surface.
What do you think could the reasons for this could be? I mean, if we're talking about a natural feature, which seems very unlikely at this stage, could it be that the currents of the water has shaped this? It seems pretty much impossible, right?
Well, I mean, of course, the possibility is there, but we don't have. I mean, now we have like a knot or 1.5 knot strong current. Of course, maybe the currents have shaped this object looking like it does today. I don't know really, but I don't think so. I don't think so. But we may have found a volcano, and the lower part is the volcano cone, and the upper part is in that case the magma. And maybe it's shaped because it has been having an eruption during the ice age. So the ice has shaped the lava or the magma.
Ah, I see. So maybe even the circular hole that you talked about earlier, that could be part of this, basically, where the magma or lava has come out from, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. It is a possibility, absolutely. So that's one theory. If it's right, or if it's the true theory right now, I can't say, but it's a very plausible theory.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, just to clarify some things, obviously you guys never said, you or Dennis, your partner, never said anything about this being a UFO. How did that begin? Was that one of the papers here in Sweden that started with that?
Yeah, they thought it looked like a UFO, but as you say, we have never said it's a UFO. I mean, people have been angry about that we can't say it is, but I mean, we don't know, and we say that it's probably a natural thing, even if it's very unique in its kind. So, but, well, we don't know, really.
Exactly.
We're finding so much strange things about it. So, we'll see what happens on next expedition.
Indeed, I'm going to ask you about some of these anomalies strange things that's happened around it, because it's very interesting. Now, let's talk just a little bit about what's next here as well, and what you found out on the last expedition, the second one you did, because we have, I guess you guys are attempting to basically create a 3D model of the object. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we on the first expedition, we had a multi-beam equipment with us, and that is a equipment. It works like a sonar, but it is shooting thousands of beams, and you're going back and forth over the area, and after a while you can process the data and make a 3D three-dimensional image of the bottom or the object. But, of course, we had some problems with that. So the data is at the company down in Denmark right now, and they are trying to get this three-dimensional images out of the data. And I think they will succeed, because they have sent quite a nice image up here.
All right. How much do you know at this stage? And it's going to be, people are very eager, of course. They're very curious about what this is and want to have answers and all the rest. But do you have an ETA on when they might have an image for you guys?
Well, I guess we will have some nice images within a couple of weeks. The problem here is, and in Denmark, is that it is summer vacation times. And, people want to go to their vacations, even that we have found something very unusual.
The whole of Scandinavia shuts down, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. And all the samples we have taken from the object is at Stockholm University, and they also have vacation. So we do not get any answers as fast as we would like to. And of course, all our followers at Facebook, our Facebook page and so on. Really, we're just waiting.
Now, tell us about the third. You've been on two so far, and you're planning a third one. There seems to be a window of time here as you said before, because after a certain date here, it's get difficult to go out there, and the water and the weather and everything. So when is that window closing, and is the third one the last one you're going to make this summer, this year, Peter?
Well, I would say that the window closed at end of September. After that, of course, it might be some calm days, but we will have less than 50% of the time. We will be able to work less than 50% of the time, and then it's just money in the water. On the third expedition, I hope we will be on our way within 2 or 3 weeks. And I hope that we will have some real scientists with us, because we are just treasure hunters. So, we are kind of tumbling around in the dark right now.
Who would you need? A geologist, perhaps, or something else?
Well, I think that the best would be to have maybe 2 or 3 different kind of scientists, because the volcano theory is completely shut down by the geologists. They are saying, no, it's not possible with a volcano. It hasn't been any tectonic activities there for millions of years, so it cannot be a volcano. So, I think we need 2 or 3 different scientists that can think in different directions.
And they would have to dive and go down there, or how would you solve this problem?
No, we will use the ROV and also, of course, the divers. But if they are with us, they can tell us, okay, I want to have a look on that and that and that, and stop there. We must film that a bit more. And because, we're trying to see as much as possible with the equipment we have, but we are not making any kind of scientific reports or anything. So, it would be better to have a couple of real scientists with us.
Absolutely. Now, if you go back to the object for a moment here, there seems to be, 4 different parts of it, if we can put it that way. There's the pillar that you mentioned, and then we have the main circular concrete type of object on top of that pillar. As far as I understood it, there is some kind of bubble almost, or sphere somewhere on the circle, and then also there is a ring of stones. Is that pretty much it? And there is a hole as well, as you mentioned. But beyond that, is there anything else or anything on top or additionally to the main complex or object, Peter?
Yeah, we have the track, which is a kind of a ridge, and it's like thousands meter long, and of course it's connected to the object, but how, we don't know. If it is remains that is grinded off the object by the ice, or if the ridge is there because of some other reasons, we don't know. We haven't had a look at the ridge yet, visually or by divers or anything. So the ridge is a question mark so far.
Is this the one with the on top of the object that have 90 degree angles kind of thing?
And we have had a look at the angles, and they are there, and they are very straight and angular. But if it is because of natural causes, I don't know. The geologist say that rock can crack like that, so it get these very angular shaped cracks and formations.
Absolutely. Now, the geologists you have talked with, have they, volunteered their time to look into this, or did you have to hire them, if you will, to make an opinion on your findings so far?
No, we haven't had to pay them so far, but I guess they're quite interested as well. So the geologist we have talked to, he has just looked at the ROV images and we have shown him the sonar images and so on, but he hasn't been there himself. But the geologist, he looked at it in a very geologist way as well. And if we talk to a biologist, he starts to say, well, the hole, it's strange that it's gone. Maybe it's an organism. And, well, what can we say about that? So it depends on what kind of scientists they are.
That's right. It's very compartmentalized indeed, and you guys are kind of in the center of this and try to keep tie together all the loose ends, and they are indeed loose at this stage. Now, have you managed to take any samples from the object or some parts of the object yet?
Yes, we have taken some loose stones that are laying, like you mentioned, the ring of the stones. There are stones strewn around at some places on the object, and I guess it's from the Ice Age. I have got the question many times if I think it's construction, and I'm saying that we have this very strange stair formations, and if it is constructed, it must be constructed tens of thousands of years ago, before the Ice Age. And then the ice has done grinded off a lot of things and so on, but that's because all the loose stones are laying around.
So when the ice have melted, the stones have dropped off maybe from the ice and just landed on top of the object?
Yes, exactly.
So the rings seem to be separate, and I recall I heard another interview with you, Peter, and you mentioned something about there seems to be a soot or something on the stones. Is that correct?
Yeah, some of them have this very black soot, and you can scrape it off with your fingers. And one of the loose stones that we brought up was a basalt stone. And the geologist said that, okay, the nearest place for these kind of basalt is the Middle Ridge in the Atlantic.
Really?
So that was quite strange. And the reason why we took that stone was because it was very black and didn't have any kind of sediment on it, or very, very little sediment. Stones laying beside it had sediment, but this one hadn't. So we took it because of that. And that's also a big question. What does that basalt stone doing there when it probably comes from the Atlantic?
Very interesting.
It's quite far away.
Very strange. Now, and the soot, of course, as many people have pointed out, could be carbon 14 dated, I guess. Is this something you guys are doing, and are you awaiting results at this point, or what's happening with that?
We're waiting for the result, but I don't think you can do carbon measuring on soot. But they can decide the age of the rocks in some way using acid and these kind of things. So hopefully we will get these answers also when the vacations are over.
Indeed. So there's a lot of waiting for you guys right now. Are you planning the third expedition and pretty much set to go for that, or is there more work to do on this, Peter?
It's more work to. I mean, we have to plan it, the next expedition, and as I said, we need to get some scientists with us to make a serious expedition. Because as it is now, as I said before, we're tumbling around in the dark, and then we're doing as good as we can. But it's not enough. It's too much questions.
Indeed, and. There's obviously a draw here, because something is mysterious enough to keep you guys going with this and want to have answers. So, I mean, therefore, it must be, it seems like there's something else. I mean, for example, let's talk about this thing about the your gear being affected in some way. There seems to be a disruption when you use certain electronics. Tell us about this.
We have had lots of problems with all the electronics, and the divers' cameras broke down, and so on and so on. And we had the cable to the ROV had a real short circuit, which burnt a hole through the cable. And I don't know what to say. There have been a lot of problems, but if it is related to the object or not, I can't tell, really.
Now, do you have any guesses at this point? I've heard a lot of people around speculate when they heard this that it's some kind of causing this surge in energy. It's electromagnetic. It's some kind of almost electromagnetic pulse. It acts like a shield. Some people have talked about this being a part of a torsion field and everything else. Any comments on this, Peter?
Well, not really, but we have done... we have tried to find out if it is a magnetic field, but it isn't. There are no problems with the compasses, but we have done a measuring with a frequentometer, which you use to find out if there are any kind of radio transmissions and so on. We have done that, but we doesn't have the result yet, and that will be a very interesting to see what will come out of it.
Absolutely. Is there anything test-wise that you guys would like to do, but maybe haven't had access to that type of gear or technology yet?
Yeah, I would like to actually make a core, drill a core, and take a core sample right through the object and down through the foundation, and probably as deep as possible, just to find out what it is, really. And I think that is one thing you have to do before you get a real answer.
Would that be difficult to do?
No, it's not difficult, but it costs a lot of money. So we will not spend that kind of money. But because we don't have it, but it's possible, absolutely.
So with that in mind then, since this is, you know, limiting in that sense, because, you know, as you say, things cost money, specifically this, you know, kind of big project that this is now, has the authorities around the Baltics said anything at this, governments, other kinds of institutions from either Sweden or Finland, have they commented anything or contacted you, or have you tried to contact them, Peter?
The only authority that has contacted us is the Swedish military. And they just told us that if it is on Swedish waters, you are not allowed to record sea floor mapping because it's of natural national security reasons. But when I told them, well, it's not on Swedish waters, they just said, okay, then we know, bye-bye. So nothing more than that.
Huh. So there's no international waters in the Baltic. Is it on Finnish waters then?
There is international waters in the Baltic, but there are still economical zones everywhere, so it's not like international waters, but economical zones, they are working as international water regulations.
Okay, I see. I recall I watched a video that Dennis put up on either his or both of you guys' YouTube channel, and he was it was in Swedish, and it was quite he had a lot of things to say about the stupid laws around this, and there's a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of things that seems to just put sticks in the wheel, so to speak, to stop the effort. What would you like to see what would ease things up, I guess, if you share Dennis' opinion on this?
I think he was also talking about wrecks and not just about this object.
Right, yeah.
If it is stupid regulations or not, I mean, sometimes it's good they're there because, we don't want to find these very old wrecks just being plundered as well, because it's nice to have them there. and for all people to view. But in the same time, it's I mean, if you have a modern wreck and let's say it's a cargo that which we are interested in, and it's less than 100 year old, yes, then it's big problems. Well, I can just say that I agree with it. It's they are making things more difficult than it should have to be.
Yeah, I understand that. Now, do you guys have anybody in mind that you potentially could ask? Either for, you know, I know this is tricky because obviously it's your find. You want to try to decide or control, I guess, to a certain degree, what happens from now on and out. But is there anybody you could ask for help? And again, I guess I'm just fascinated that no one maybe has contacted you, maybe from the government or authorities that are interested in this and would like to have some answers to it. But any thoughts on this? Anybody that could help out with this, money wise or gear wise?
Money wise, we will not find any help. Maybe we will get help from the Stockholm University with the scientists, and that would be quite nice. And I guess that is the only kind of help we will find or get.
Have you contacted them about this, or maybe we'll do this fall, Peter?
Yeah, we are in discussions with them. Not like, okay, can you go out in 2 weeks? But
sure.
I mean, since we have left all the samples to them, and they will do the work with that. So we have a collaboration with them already. So I think if we will bring some scientists, it will be from Stockholm University.
Very interesting. Now, did you manage to get some video material as well of this from the ROV? Does that have video capabilities?
Yeah. From the first expedition, yes. From the second expedition, no. Because, of course, we have this DVD hard disk recorder, and it didn't want to work with us. So we just could look at the monitor while we were driving the ROV, but we couldn't record anything. And that's also a thing about these electronics breakdowns.
Indeed, very, very strange. Now, another question about the location. I guess I understand you're very reluctant to give away the location for obvious reasons. But could you say if it's closer to Finland than to Sweden? Do you guys have a long way to go? If I put it that way.
Yeah, it's. We're talking about 24 hours from Stockholm.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's quite, it's in the middle, kind of. It's the same distance to Finland as it is to Sweden.
So kind of right in the middle there of the Baltic now. Let's talk about some of the theories that have been coming out as well, and I want to get your take on this, even if it's speculation. And it seems to me as well, Peter, that the more you find out about the object, the less you know, the more questions you have, right? That seems to be the case.
Yeah, yes, it is.
So it's pretty much impossible to say what it is at this stage. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is impossible. We can agree on a few theories, but we can't tell that it is this or that.
I heard from one of the World War II experts, I think it was in Aftonbladet, one of the newspapers here in Sweden, talked about this being an anti-Nazi, submarine thing, basically. It was part of a metal mesh constructed, and that there was a concrete weight on that. But as the article detailed, of course, it's just basically it's too big for this. It's way oversized.
Yes, it is. And as I said before, if it is a construction in any way, it's thousands of years old. So it's not from the wars, and it's not from, I mean, we're talking, when did the Ice Age start? Like 100,000 years ago. But then we had some middle time when they think the ice was gone for 10 or 20,000 years. So it might be more than 100,000 years old, or like 40 or 50,000 years old, if it is a construction in any way.
That's right. You describe it as some kind of concrete. It looks like it's been molded or shaped in some way. And hopefully then, Peter, the samples will, the samples are from the ring, correct? So you've actually haven't taken samples from the main circular concrete object, is that correct?
Well, the last samples the divers took was from the top of the circle. So hopefully we'll get an answer of what that is, of what kind of material.
In the video as well that Dennis had, he mentioned, I guess he didn't go into it, he talked about basically a overall strangeness around him, and I guess you as well, starting to happen. Is this anything you want to or can comment on, Peter?
Well, no, I don't want to comment anything. I mean, if what happens with Dennis, but, no, I don't want to comment that.
Okay, we'll leave it off. And you guys are also participatory right now with a production company of actually filming and detailing the whole story. Is that correct?
Yes, they are doing a documentary, so they are following us on our expeditions.
Well, so that's going to be really exciting. I guess there are things there as well that you haven't been able to talk about yet, and there are maybe more aspects to this that haven't been revealed at this stage. Is that correct?
Yes, we have a few aces up our sleeves, but we're not doing it to. I mean, many people are telling us that we are just a big hoax and so on, but we're not. We don't know what it is, and but of course, to save a few things for the documentary, we are not telling everything. So we will reveal some quite interesting things in the documentary.
Very interesting. Now, and this could be well, depends on how long this goes on, I guess, because the more and more is revealed, the longer you're going to work with the team and film this and detail it. And for all we know, Peter, this could go on for quite some time if you guys don't get any proper help. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, if we do this third expedition, I don't think it will be a fourth this year. But I guess the documentary will be like part one. At least,
right? Yeah.
So then they continue next year in that case.
And is there any release date set for this yet, or are you holding off at this stage?
I really don't know what the production company is planning, but I guess it will be something. I mean, before end of this year, at least.
Definitely.
Now, broadcasting, yeah.
Okay, really interesting. People have speculated about it being a meteor or something otherwise incoming. Is that still a possibility in your view?
Yeah, it might be. I personally do not think it's a meteor or asteroid that has just hit the water or the sea floor, and because it should be a crater and everything, but someone had a theory that it might have hit the ice, and if the ice was like 2,000 or 3,000 meters thick, it might have penetrated the ice a couple of thousand meters, and then it has just fell down when the ice melted away. So yeah, maybe.
If it is 10,000 or so years ago, if it is connected in some way to the melting of the last ice age, this opens up a can of worms, so to speak. If it is indeed some kind of made object, either man-made or again, who the heck knows? This is obviously touching upon an area that many other people have talked about before. Theories ranging everything from Atlantis type civilization is everything else. Is this something you ever were interested in, Peter, or is this a brand new world for you, so to speak, when these kinds of ideas are entering into that?
No, it's not a new world for me, because I'm very interested in history and all kind of it, and of course I've also heard stories about Atlantis and that it should be on the bottom somewhere. And, well, I have also had the thoughts, I don't really believe in the Atlantis story, but if it is there somewhere, of course, I would like to find it. But if this is Atlantis, well, that would be quite amazing.
It's kind of small, but no, but the thing is, it could be one of the objects or something like that. It could be any kind of relationship at this point. We don't know, but it's, the fact is that it's absolutely fascinating. And again, the more you guys have been looking into this, the stranger it seems to get. Is there anything else that has happened or that you guys know about at this stage that we haven't talked about that is like an important feature either of the object or something that's been happening or changed or recorded or anything like that?
Well, I can mention that we had this second anomaly, which we haven't had a look at all so far. And that's a thing that's still a real big question mark. And hopefully on our third expedition, we'll be able to have a look at that as well. And if that is of a similar, we know that it isn't round, but it looks like it has very angular sides. And if that also looks kind of constructed, I mean, then we're probably looking at something that might be a construction that is very, very old.
Indeed.
And these are two parts of it, or whatever it is.
That's right. But again, actually, if we go back and look at the first sonar images again, it's also a second object or something further up in the picture image there. What is that, Peter? Tell us about that.
That is the second anomaly, and we haven't been looking at that yet. But hopefully on the third expedition we will be able to do that.
Is that far away from it?
No, it's like 200 meters or so from the circle.
Ah, interesting. And is it about similar? It's a little smaller, I think, right?
Yeah, it's about 40 meters from side to side. And 40 by 30 meters or something. And it's not racing 15 meters above the bottom, but it's still like 10 meters
okay.
above the bottom.
Yeah, 10 meters, so 70. It's very strange that it's up so high, this object. Is that the main reason why it stood out to you for the first time, or is it just simply the shape of the object itself because it's so anomalous to the rest of the seafloor?
No, it was because of the shape, because we didn't know how high it was last year when we found it. We found that out now on the first expedition.
And this stair-like feature that you mentioned, is that in the center, on the side of the circle?
It is, it looks like these stair formations are going from the bottom, and the foundation is a part of it. And then these formations are going to the top of the circle.
Yeah.
But they are like 1 meter each stair. So I don't think it's an ordinary people can walk in these stairs in that case. But, they're there and they look like stairs.
And then we have to return to that again a little bit and describe it. That's some more the little sphere or whatever it is that it's on top of the main object. Is that pretty much in the same type of concrete material or does it look differently to you?
Yeah, it has this smooth surface which looks like concrete, as you say, but it's probably not concrete. Meringue, as we call it, is of the same material as the circle itself.
Okay, I see. Interesting. So it's just like a smaller version of that, but on top of it, almost.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. If it is very, very old, I don't know, and maybe you know that, Peter, because you're more accustomed to the Baltic Sea and the conditions up there, but wouldn't the the object be covered in I don't know, sedimentary layers of mud or dirt or something like that, if it's been there for a very, very long time?
Well, it is a very, very thin layer of sediment, but well, if we have these currents on like 1.5 knot, maybe that is enough to take all the sediment away, and what is left is just a kind of slimy layer. So, but I really don't know. I usually doesn't look at similar formations or rocks that are standing up on the bottom. So I don't know how much sediment there usually is.
Okay, I see. I'm looking at some of the images here as well that came out, and if there is another expedition, let's say last year, next year, then 2013, Peter, is there any way that you think that it could be lit up more if you had stronger lights per se? Would it be possible to get a bigger overview picture, in your opinion, of the object?
Well, we probably could get a few meters more visibility, but still, it's because of the silt in the water. But I guess sometimes in the Baltic you may have suddenly like 5 or 10 or 15 meters visibility. So I guess we just have to stay there till we get these conditions if we want to have a real nice overview images.
Ah, I see. Have you, when you've been out on the other expeditions, has this ever happened? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is it fairly often it happens, or is it very, very rare with the visibility?
Well, it depends on which part of the Baltic we're talking about. But as an example, when we salvaged champagne from the Jönköping wreck in 1997 and 1998, on 43 dives, during a period of 8 days, we had one dive with a visibility of 5 meters. The other dives, we had half a meter.
Oh boy!
So, yeah. So it's not like okay, in middle of June we have good visibility. It's impossible to say. It might be between 12 and 3 o'clock, and then it's bad visibility again.
Right. Yeah.
So you can't plan for it.
Exactly, I understand that. Now, so it's, again, just to go back to that point and reemphasize that for our listeners, it's really the 3D representation that is going to give you, at this point anyway, the best visual idea of how it looks. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And that's because we brought that equipment, because I knew that we will not have any possibility to get a good overview otherwise.
Absolutely. And remind us again, when did you plan for the third expedition here? It's towards mid-August or later?
No, mid-August, but not later than mid-September.
Absolutely. And any precautions you can take when it comes to the disturbances of the gear that is electric? I mean, again, I guess what happened last time was that it's not functioning when you're close, but then when you go away from the object, it starts working again after what, X amount of meters, or is it time related, do you think?
Ooh.
Difficult, huh?
No, yeah. I would say it's in that case, if we're like 500 meters away, everything seems to work well. And if we get closer, we have more problems with the electronics.
Have you ever had anything similar like this happening before?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, electricity and water, they doesn't belong together. So it will always be problems. And when we are out searching for wrecks, of course, things happen all the time. But maybe not as much as it has been like now.
Very strange. It's absolutely fascinating story, and I know how much you guys are working with this right now as well, and trying to both, I guess, raise money, and the interest is there. And has this been difficult, or has it been easy to find? I know that Dennis in the video again mentioned you guys were looking for, well, basically for sponsors to be able to continue with doing that. Has that gone well at the stage?
No, it hasn't gone well. There is a lot of interest, but I think, I mean, it's easier to sponsor a sportsman or a sportswoman, because they are doing something that you understand. But to sponsor this, that might be something very unexplainable. They don't dare, really, but they are very interested. So we have had quite difficulties to find sponsors, and of course we need them, and for a sponsor, I mean, with the media interest we have, and we have had hundreds of millions of viewers so far, I mean, with all the TV features, it would have been a golden opportunity for a sponsor if they would take care of the marketing value.
Yes, exactly, and that's interesting. No one is, they're kind of chicken in that way. Have you tried internationally as well, or Swedish or only companies?
Yeah, we have tried a lot of different kind of companies, and yes, we have been in contact with Virgin as well, and they were also interested, but you know, they have their own things going on, and so. But we'll see. We have started to sell clothes, so maybe we will get going to be our own sponsor.
You have to have James Cameron help you out with this little submarine there.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything from him yet.
Now, but and I heard as well again then from Dennis, he mentioned that you're not, I guess, accepting help from individuals because you had a little mishap in the beginning and it didn't turn out, so you kind of got sidetracked on that for a while and you ended up losing a lot of time. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have had three or four people, or what do you say, not communities, but well, they have. What they have tried, I don't know. Maybe they thought we had a lot of money, and then they tried to rip us off, oh, really. And please. And we lost a lot of time. So it started in August last year. And, well, so in total we have lost maybe 4 or 5 months because of this.
Yeah. Now, and so the way, I guess, you're accepting help from individuals, people out there listening who wants to support you guys and want to make sure it's happening, is the best way then to basically get some of your apparel, some of your gear that you have on the website, or how do people do that?
Yeah, we have had quite a lot of questions about how they do if they want to donate money, and we are saying we are a commercial company and we don't accept donations. It doesn't feel good. So if they believe this and they want to help us in some way, it's better to buy the apparel, as you say.
Okay.
And that's why we started with that.
Okay, so that indirectly that's a way to donate then, basically, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a way of helping us with getting money so we can continue this adventure.
Well, there you go. There you have it. I mean, it's basic stuff then. Help the guys out if you want to see this happening. I certainly will, because it's a fascinating story. This could be a really, really big discovery. Could it be also, Peter, that it I mean, what would happen, I guess, if it's decided, I guess, would you trust even that if there was a geologist basically come along and say, no, it's a natural feature, they explain this and that, would you just drop it and let it go, or would you feel like, no, I want to know more, I want to have more data about this?
Well, I will not settle down with just a word from one geologist, but if we have a few of them saying the same thing, then of course we will say, I mean, yeah, you're probably right, and we will leave this behind us now. If we can't get that kind of answers, of course it will be an open book still. But I mean, it's day after tomorrow as well, and we have to live and think of our ordinary life. So we have to start continue with our wreck searching.
Yes, so, exactly. Are you capable of doing this at the same time, or have you put that to the side for now?
No, we have done a few things on the side when we're going out to the site and back and so on. So when we have had all this equipment on the boat, we have take the chance, so to speak, to look for some wrecks.
Absolutely. We're going to round things off here in a little bit. Again, I want to just give out the website oceanexplorer.se. That's where you can follow along in this. And again, we're basically waiting for results. The third expedition is coming, waiting for the results from the second one. Is there something that you're going to do during the third one that is also going to take time to analyze or to wait for, if it's samples or anything like that?
Actually, the website is oceanxteam.com, but that's okay. We will do. We will probably take some more samples in different ways, and we have to wait for the answers of the results.
Okay, really good. Oceanxteam.com. That's right. I just get relayed to oceanexplorer.se when I do that. That's probably because I'm in Sweden, Peter. But in any regard, yeah. Oceanxteam.com. That's the website. All right. Well, if there's anything else, Peter, you'd like to mention, please go do so in the last few minutes here. This has been fascinating talking with you directly, hearing more about the object, and at this stage, waiting and more waiting to see on the results and basically get more. More data. Anything else, Peter, you want to mention?
Oh boy. No, it's I want to say that people out there who are interested in this must be patient. And I know that they are walking around and then want answers today or yesterday. But they must be patient. It takes time, this. And, we must be patient as well. We would like to be out there right now, but we have to wait till things have, well, for money and to get the right gear on the boat and so on. So be patient.
Well, exactly. That's a good point. I heard Dennis say that as well. There's things happen, things break down. You guys have been waiting even for spare parts coming in from Germany and stuff like that. Everything takes time. And I think, as you say, that's something people don't understand. It's like, what are they waiting for? Just go out there and dive, you know, basically, right?
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, really good. Thank you so much for your time today, Peter. Really appreciate it. We're going to keep on monitoring this story, of course, and we hope we can have you back when and if things indeed develop and if there's more things found out. So really appreciate it. Thank you again, Peter.
Thank you.
All righty, guys and gal, thank you for listening today. We'll obviously keep monitoring this story and be on top of presenting available data to you as it comes in. More on this ahead. We have some great programs coming. Here's a few of our upcoming guests: Rosa Corey, Daniel Pinchbeck, Jan Irvin, Mark Grant, Walter Burian, Joel Gilbert, Ron Keller, Randall Carlson, Charles Upton, Chris Knowles, and many more. RedIceCreations.com, that's where you can find out more. You're welcome to tune in again when we return with more in just a few days. In the meantime, take care, be well.